Thank the Lord for his blessings, his mercies to us. Ask for your prayers this afternoon. The Lord would bless his word. I believe that he'd have us to be encouraged. And that's the, seem like the line of the burden the Lord's given me this afternoon. I'd like for us to begin in a familiar passage, one that we've read often, that I've referred to often in messages that the Lord has given me. But I'd like to start in the sixth chapter of the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18 says that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Written on the board in the words, beyond the veil. Whenever I think of hope, the scriptures is talking about here, hope that we have available to us that we can lay hold upon, the Lord came to give us hope. I'm thankful for hope. I'm thankful for, in the darkest of times, the darkest hours of the night, that I have hope that weeping may endure for the night, but that joy comes in the morning. There's something to look forward to. There's something to look ahead to, that I can count down. I can know if I hold on just a little while longer, I'll be able to see the light of a day. If I can just hold on, this thing isn't going to endure forever. If I can just hold on a little while longer. But you know, as it is with different things the Lord has made available to us, and I'll try to enumerate some of those that have come to my mind, if what the Lord has made available to us is different than what the world offers of like kind. The world would say, we offer hope unto you. Scriptures talk about those who have made wealth or made riches their stronghold. That's what they've placed their hope in. But Scripture also says that those riches, those same riches that people would make their hope and would make their fortress, verily they make themselves wings and they fly away. And there goes your hope with it. People place their hope in their health and their strength and their possessions and on, but those things are, they're fleeting. Those things are of mortality. They're not eternal. They're but temporal. And yet that's what the world places their hope in. Our hope is that situations might change. The Jewish nation placed their hope that their Messiah might come and change their situation of life, and those that would rule over them would overthrow it. We have a hope. But oh, what a brighter hope than that the Messiah truly came to give. A hope that goes beyond this current situation, this current setting, the current government, the current president, the current whatever your situation and state of life is, there is a hope that goes beyond all of that. Jesus said, I came to give you peace, not as the world giveth, not the kind of peace that the world gives. The world looks for peace, but they look in all the wrong places. They try to artificially create peace by controlling the surroundings, controlling the environment. But peace is not an outside-in thing. Peace is an inside-out thing that the world cannot give. So Jesus said, I give you my peace. Thank the Lord. I'm going to give you and put my peace within you that you're not going to be able to find in this world. The joy of the Lord, this world cannot find. They might pursue after the things that bring a temporary and a fleeting joy, but can never know the depth of joy that wherewith we draw the water from the wells of salvation. That deep-seated joy that goes beyond the situation and the circumstances. When the clouds above us hover, the song we sang says, we can still praise the Lord. There's still a joy that's not quenched by the circumstances. So there are, in this plan of salvation the Lord's made available to us, benefits that the world cannot afford, the world cannot give, and one of those is the hope that anchors beyond the veil. It's a hope that is not tied to the circumstances of life around us, but it ties to something beyond that. I'd like for us to turn and consider the writings of Paul in a couple different places. I'd like to begin in 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter. 2 Timothy 4 and 6, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." You realize this is the setting where Paul's about to be martyred? Paul's about to lose his life. Does this sound to you like the song of a defeated man? Does this sound like one who has given up all hope and he's just resigned? There's nothing I can do. Woe is me. I'm backed into a corner now and all is lost and I'm defeated and I'm about to die. And I want you to feel sorry for me. I want you to lament over me. Does that sound like what Paul's writing here? He says, "I am ready. Bring it on," if I can put it that way. "I'm ready for this. I'm ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand." You know, faith is not a denial of reality, but faith is a recognition of who God is. Faith is a recognition that I'm not looking at the things that are surrounding me. I'm not looking at the circumstance. I'm not looking at the sharpness of the executioner's sword or whatever it is. I'm looking at something that's beyond the veil. My eyes and my hope are fixed on something that's brighter than all of that. And I believe that's what Paul had in his eyes. I believe that's what he had his hope set on whenever he wrote this. I'm ready. I'm ready for it now because I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. You know how the human mind can think, "Oh Lord, if I could just live a little while longer. Lord, I can think of all the reasons why I'd like to extend my life a little while longer. And I could do this for you. And I could do that for you. And these people need me, Lord. And this congregation needs me." But you know, there's such a peace and an assurance that comes with saying, "Lord, it's in your hands. My hope is not in this life. My hope is not in every day that I can squeeze out of my life. My hope is beyond the veil. My hope goes beyond that today." So the apostle, I believe, was looking at that. "Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all," can I say us? "Unto all of us that love his appearing." There's a crown laid up. You remember the scripture that says the path of the just is as a shining light that shines more and more into the perfect day? You know, this is a hope that the Lord makes available unto every one of us who are redeemed by the blood. This is a hope that the Lord gave to that thief on the cross that cried out unto him, "Lord, remember me this day when thou art returned into paradise. Remember me this day." That hope was made available and extended unto that man as well. The apostle Paul didn't have that kind of experience and testimony. He had a long journey that he had to walk. He had many battles that he had to fight. But you know, throughout the path of our life, the Lord does not want this hope to dim. The Lord doesn't want with the extension. We all, I trust, know what it feels to get saved. Know what it feels to have the load of sin rolled off of our backs. And I'm not carrying that burden. And you remember the excited feeling and the joy that filled our hearts. You know, the Lord does not want that joy to grow dim. The Lord does not want this hope to grow further and further distant in our mind. We sing a song, number 213. Maybe we can sing a verse of it. "Pilgrim of Jesus, o'er life's troubled sea, courage and onward pursue. A crown of rejoicing is waiting for thee. Ever keep heaven in view. keep heaven in view. Ever keep heaven in view. Courage, my brother, right onward pursue. Ever keep heaven in view. The Lord wants us to ever keep heaven in view. Our hope, our object of rejoicing, He wants us to ever keep it before us, that I not lose sight of it, that I not get so distracted by the situations of life or by the battles that I'm in, that I lose sight of why I'm fighting the battle, that I lose sight of why I'm trying to fight a good fight. Lord, help me not to lose sight. Businesses learn in just in the realm of the workforce that employees who lose sight of their purpose, of why they're coming into work, and just get into a mode where they're going through the motions and just dragging themselves in from one day to the next, they're not nearly as apt to really put their heart into it as somebody who sees a purpose in why they're coming to work, who enjoys what they're doing. So in my particular industry, line of work of aviation, they like to remind the employees from time to time, remember the importance of what you're doing. Remember, if you get careless, if you get slack, that's people's lives that are at stake because they're flying on the planes. Remember the importance of what you're doing. You know, it makes a difference for us as well. The perspective that we have on our battles, on our lives, whenever I can keep heaven in view, whenever I can see beyond the veil, I'd like to consider a few more of Paul's writings. In 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, verse 16, 2 Corinthians 4 and 16 says, "For which cause we faint not. For though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." This, earlier in Paul's life and his writings, I believe was part of his recipe to success. Part of the reason why he could say at the end of his life that he had such a hope and such a resignation and a joy, even at that time of his life, because he had learned that he looked not. Another scripture says that we walk by faith and not by sight, not by what these eyes can see. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and the whole passage there that's dealing with the resurrection and those who are skeptical and unbelieving of the resurrection. He said if after the manner, let's turn and read it. He said if the dead rise not, then is your faith in vain. But he was telling them that if, I'm not seeing it right now. If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantageth it me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. If the dead rise not, in other words, if, as it says later in that chapter, if in this life only we have hope, we're of all men most miserable. If it doesn't go beyond the veil, if that's where it stops, you're miserable. Because the sorrows of life that take hold on every man is the extent of your hope. There's nothing beyond that to look for. If the dead rise not, if there's no life after death, then we might as well all rise up and eat and drink and enjoy life to the fullest measure that we can in the flesh. Because that's all there is the flesh. That we try to satisfy to the fullest extent the desires of the flesh. Isn't that what the world's doing today? They're trying in every way they can to gratify the flesh on this hand and on that hand, as if to say, we're not going to die, we're not going to rise again, this is all there is to it, so let's live it to the fullest. Remember a story of a lady that worked with me who said her mother was coming down to the point of death, and in her dying moments, they were trying to be with her there and comfort her and help her any way she could. Mom, what do you want to do in these last few moments? She said, help me up. Help me up. I want to get out on the porch for one more smoke. That was what the extent of what her enjoyment and her pleasure and her hope was. I've got to gratify to the fullest extent of what I can. Oh, folks, I'm so thankful that our hope goes beyond that. That our fulfillment, our satisfaction, our reason for living goes beyond the veil. It goes beyond what these eyes are able to see. Because that's what it refers to of the veil. It's that beyond which these temporal eyes are not able to see. Not able to look beyond it. We see through a glass darkly, but then on the other side of the veil, we'll see face to face. We'll be able to see clearly in that day. The song says, what a day that will be. When my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. When He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. But you know, it's hard for us to see here. It's hard for us sometimes to lift up our eyes and to remember and to keep heaven in view, the reason of our living to glorify the Lord. The source of our hope, it's anchored into that that's on the other side of the veil. I remember as a boy, we lived down a long dirt road, my parents and grandparents, and I remember the day after day after day of being picked up after school, of coming home from town, of coming home after meeting, and we followed the same route day after day after day. We'd turn down Westminster Road there in Guthrie, going down the dirt road, and at a certain point, there came the driveway, and about a quarter mile after that, Grandma and Grandpa's driveway, and I never went past that. And I remember as a boy, I don't know if it was just my curious mind, but I remember always wondering, I wonder what's around that next curve, because we always just turn right here. We always just turn right into our driveway, and we go through the motion day after day after day, and I had a curiosity about me, and I remember bugging Mom many times, Mom, can we go straight today? Mom, can we keep going straight? Because I want to see. I want to know what I've never seen on the other side. I want to be able to just see. And it was a little disappointing when we finally went straight, because it was just more dirt road. But you know, in the dusty road of life, if I can put it that way, where we kind of go through the motions of life sometimes, day in and day out, waking up and going throughout the day and going back to bed and up and at it again, the responsibilities of life, the burdens of life, the trials of life, day after day after day. You know, the Lord wants us to have something inside. As Paul said to all of those who love His appearing, in other words, who are looking for His appearing, who are anxiously awaiting His appearing, I've never been there, have you? I've never been to heaven. I've gotten a taste of it. But I've never been there. You know, my prayer today is to, Lord, I want to go straight. Lord, I've never seen it. And sometimes You let me get a glimpse. Sometimes in my spirit I can get, as the song number 194 puts it this way, oh, what a foretaste of glory divine in our spirit, that we can get a taste of it, that we can get enough of what the Lord knows that I need, enough of a taste of that hope to say, oh, pilgrim, keep looking up, keep going on, keep pressing along, because it'll all be worth it one day. You're not able to see right now. You're looking through a glass darkly at best. Just by the merit of these mortal frames in which we live. There's another veil. It's a whole, maybe another message. Read in 1 Corinthians 3, I believe it is. It talks about those who in the reading of the law, the veil is still untaken away. There's a veil over the heart. There's a veil of carnality and of the flesh, by which we're not able to see clearly the things of God, even in this life. We're not able to look and steadfastly behold the Lord. We're not able to look face to face. We're not able to look into His Word and understand the things of God. And it clouds, it confuses our vision. To get into a place like that is to get into a place, I don't have a good vision of heaven. I don't have a good vision of what it means to live for the Lord. And I maybe begin to look to the things of this life to provide that hope, to provide that joy and that satisfaction and that fulfillment that the Lord wants us to find in Him. The Lord wants us that our eyes would be unclouded, unveiled by the carnality of the flesh. Even in following and living for the Lord, though, we live in these bodies. These temporal eyes are not able to look and see those gates. Not able to look and behold what the Scriptures describe in Revelation, especially of the streets of gold and of the gates of pearl and of that river of life. Not able to see it with these eyes. How can I relate to it if I'm not able to see it? We're able to relate to it because the Scripture says He's given us the earnest of our inheritance, which is the Spirit. That is our taste of heaven here in this life. I'm thinking of, we turn to the book of Hebrews, those that have gone before us that had to look beyond what they could see as well. Hebrews 11 and 24 says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He had his perspective on something else. He had his vision was fixed on something more than just the pleasures and satisfaction of the flesh. Cameras that have a lens that focuses, not one of the self-focusing on your phone or something you have now, but where you manually have to focus the lens. You can focus on something that's at a macro level, something that's near if you're trying to get detail of something. But whenever you do that and you're focused on something that's very near, if you look in the background of that picture, those things that are afar off appear how? They look just cloudy, don't they? It's blurry. You're not able to see really what's in the distance because the focus of the thing is on what's right before us. Lord, help us in our lives that we not have our zoom set on macro level. That I not have my perspective and my vision and my focus every day of my life fixed on what's right here today. What's right before me. What I'm feeling today. But that my hope would rise above that. There's an infinity setting on those zooms. Many of them that if you're wanting to take something, a landscape or something afar off, you can put it on that setting and you know what? It does the inverse then. Those things that are right in front of you, they're right there, but they cause that to be the thing that blurs into the periphery. That becomes the thing that's not the foreground, but that's the background now. We're going to have the trials and the tribulations of life, but the Lord wants our perspective to be such that, as Paul said, we look not at the things that are seen. We don't, that's not to say we don't see those things, that I deny that I'm in suffering. I deny that and stubbornly refuse to accept the fact that I'm about to be martyred. That's not what it is. But it is instead, that's not where I fix my sights. That's not where I fix the object of my affection. It's not in this life. It's not in my health. It's not in riches. It's not in the things inside the veil. But it's that which is beyond the veil that we're to fix our eyes on. That's what allowed the Apostle Paul to have with such a hope what he had that caused him to look for the appearing of the Lord. Moses, too, whenever he had the opportunity of the pleasures of sin, he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of reward. Oh, I want the treasures of Egypt to fade away in my heart as well. We heard the verse quoted this morning, set your affection on things above, not on things of this world. That we set our affections on eternal or heavenly things. My eyes, my focus on things that are above, not the things that are around me. The Lord, I believe, from time to time wants to remind us, wants to encourage us. You know, David said that he is the lifter up of my head. If you're anything like me, your head too is drooped from time to time. You know, the Lord wants to come along at those times when my head begins to droop. At those times when I begin to feel the weight of life, that I begin to feel the oppression of the enemy and those things pressing in on every side, like Paul felt as well, that he wants to come along and lift up my head and say, child, come here. I want to show you something. My child, lift up your head and look up. Look up. There's a reason why you're going through this. You're not able to see it. It's on the other side of the veil. You're not, this is where your faith comes in. That's that tie. It's that anchor to that that is without the veil, on the other side of the veil. It is our hope. My child, look up. And sometimes the Lord will allow that vision to come a little more clearly in our sight, in our spirit, to be able to get a little extra taste that carries me on. May the Lord help us so we not get discouraged along the way. Number 23 in our book says, I have a hope that doth not fear the silent grave to view. Nay, doth not shrink though death appear. For I shall live anew, because that's not the end. It does not shrink. My hope doesn't shrink or disappear, even if death should appear. Regardless of what in the path of life comes before me, I want to have a hope that's anchored not in those things, that's not anchored in that. Because I don't want to have my whole hope and purpose of living crumble if I should ever hear the words, you only have 3 weeks to live. But you know, so many people in our world, when they hear those words, meaning of life is gone. Everything that I've pinned my hopes on, everything that I know, it's right here. It's right in this life. I have nothing else. Oh, praise the Lord for a hope that goes beyond that. For a hope that holds us, that anchors us. Yes, we're still going to be in this body. This body's still going to recoil at death and at suffering. It always will. It did with Jesus, and he had to go and pray. Do you remember what Jesus had as well? For the joy that was set before him. I don't believe he was just looking at those nails in his hands. But he was looking at something beyond that. There's a reason. There's something worth going through this. Whenever he was able to say, it is finished. And I want to encourage us with these few thoughts and scriptures this afternoon. One of these days for us it'll be finished. And if we'll hold faithful and true to the Lord, oh, what a day that'll be. That day that we've looked for, that we've hoped for, that we've sung for, that we've prayed about. When I see it suddenly unveiled completely before my eyes and realize, this is mine. This is my inheritance. This is for me. I made it. I got a little glimpse of it from time to time. But oh, may the flesh not obscure our spiritual vision. Those things that press in around us, may we always keep, by the Lord's help, heaven in view. And allow the Lord to come along. If we need it this afternoon, that he'd lift up our heads this afternoon. And if not this afternoon, at the next time that the enemy would try to start to crowd in around us, would start to cause my head to droop, that I'd lift up my eyes and be reminded, there's a crown for you as well. There's a crown laid up and waiting for you. It's got your name on it. It's waiting for you. You can't always see it. How different might it be if in this body there was no veil? If in this life there was no veil? That's really what this life is. Because to be otherwise would be heaven or hell. If the veil was truly taken away on the other side of this picture, you think the unbelieving would still not believe? If the veil was taken away where they could clearly see the torment, the eternal torment. But there's an element of faith that the Lord requires for every one of us to be able and be willing to look up beyond this life and to look beyond the veil and to anchor my life in that, to anchor my satisfaction in that. It makes me willing. Lord, I'm willing to suffer here because this isn't the extent of what there is. This isn't, the end is not the end. It's the beginning when my hope is anchored in the Lord. If it's in this life only, again, I'm miserable. I'm chasing dreams and fantasies that are like a mirage in the desert. I see it and I chase after it and it's gone. It's evaporated, and that's what our life is. It's like a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then it's gone and it vanishes. But oh, if we'll anchor our hope in something that is eternal, that does not fade, that does not shrink though death appear, one of these days, that faith that we're holding on to today will turn into sight. There's no faith over there. There's no need of faith. There's no need of looking through a veil. We'll be able to see and behold in all of the fullness of His glory and splendor unfolded before us. But it is for us on this time side of the veil to hold firm and true and faithful, to never lose hope of that, or hold of that hope. Like a rope, the other end of which is an anchor that's tied in the heaven's gates. And if I'll hold on to that rope, I never need slip. Folks, the Lord wants to show us what's straight. The Lord wants to show us what's around that curve that we've never been to before, that have always wondered, what'll it be? And we sing a song to that that effect, that question, what will it be to be there? The Lord, if we'll be faithful, will take us one day so that we can see for ourselves. You pray for me. Amen.